we'll take our Bibles together. We're in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. We're getting wisdom for our lives from this book, and we're in a section, we're beginning now in Proverbs 10, verse 2, that continues all the way for six chapters, so you'll just have to buckle up as we go through this. It's sort of all of these chapters, all of these verses are showing a contrast, just about 100% of them, a few exceptions, but there'll be a bad thing and there'll be a good thing. There'll be a positive thing, there'll be a negative thing. And I think all these chapters teach us that we have a choice to make, and really it's one of two ways. That's the testimony of all these chapters. You can have this or you can have this. And as he goes through that, you can see how people in their lives choose one or the other thing. And so it's a contrast between positive and negative, good and evil, what is righteous, what is wicked. And our lives are always a choice between them. And as we go through these verses, it's not like reading a paragraph. It's just rapid fire verses with truth saying, here's one thing, here's another thing. Which one do you want? It's like a contrast bomb, if I could put it that way. And I think it's a principle that God goes through all these verses in six chapters showing us what the end of the wrong way is. And you don't have to be unsaved to be going the wrong way. You know, the Bible, if you remember when Elijah came to the people of God and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? And all these verses, that's what it is, verse after verse. It's two different opinions, two different ways. You know, if the Lord's God, serve him. If Baal's God, then serve him. It's the same thing Joshua said. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Choose which way you want. Moses put another way. I think I'll read that. Hold your finger right here. Go to Deuteronomy 30. Moses put it another way, and I love the way he put it. He said, your choice is really between life. It's between life, it's between a good life that God wants you to have, and it's so sad to watch people make the wrong choices between two ways. Jesus even was telling us that as he preached. There's a narrow road, and there's a broad road. It's not a difficult thing. It's sort of a simplistic choice. It's a choice in the will of God, or it's a choice out of the will of God. It's a choice to go God's way that he wants for you in the truth, or it's a choice to go your way or the world's way or the devil's way. Whatever way it is, if it's not God's way, it ends up on this other side. And we need to determine in our lives to use wisdom that, God, I'm going to go your way. I'm going to do things like you want to be done because I don't want this side. I don't want the life that is represented by someone that was not wise but was foolish and lived out of the will of God. We shouldn't have to look at the end of a drunkard's life to know that God's ways are better. We shouldn't have to look at the drug addict community to know that that's not the way we want to go. We shouldn't have to look at the divorce rate and the ruined lives and what happens after adulterous and fornication. We shouldn't have to look at the leftovers to say, that's not what I want. And it's not just those sins of the flesh. It's the sin of just not doing God's will. I mean, some of these things we're going to look, some of them are huge, but some of them seem a little small. But, you know, every choice that you make in life takes you down one of two roads. And so Moses put it this way. I'm in Deuteronomy 30 before I get into these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses says in verse 19, he's really warning them. Deuteronomy 30, 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. He's trying to tell them to make the right choice. But you know, they didn't do that. The children of Israel didn't do that. Can you imagine having seen all the miracles that they saw and knew how real God was, but then choose to complain and choose to be proud and choose to go after the flesh and choose to stand up against Moses and choose to want to go back to Egypt and just choose everything but the Word of God and the will of God. That was the testimony. And they didn't have to be that way. Hey, choose life. There's a promised land out here. And none of them got to go except the children. You know why? Because they didn't choose life. They chose death. And they were God's people. It's not like they didn't know God. They just chose the wrong pathway. They chose to listen to Korah and Dathan and Abiram. They chose to start thinking about the place they left in Egypt instead of thinking about the land that God wanted them to go to. They started thinking about the other nations that they were transversing through and how they lived their lives and the things of the people of the land and the strangers that had come up with them out of Egypt. They started thinking about that. And they made a bad choice. And the wisdom of Proverbs is, it goes through, I didn't even count the verses, 32 verses in chapter 11, 31 32 in chapter 10, 31 in chapter 11, 28 in chapter 12, 25 and 13. There are 35 verses in chapter 14, 33 verses in chapter 15, and I'm telling you, every one of them is a contrast about a choice you can make, just about. So let's start this, okay? He says in verse number 2, of course, verse 1 is also a contrast between a glad father and a foolish son, and a wise son and a foolish son. In verse 2, so we start this contrast. We'll read down to verse 10. Let's just look at an overview first, and we'll go back one at a time. We're not going to spend a lot of time with it. It is what it is. Some of it's very simplistic. Verse 2, the treasures of wickedness, that's on the left side, profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Verse 3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. That's here on the right side. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. That's on the other side. Verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments. That's over here on the right. But a prating fool shall fall. Verse 9, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Verse 10, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. That's the only verse, the one we're reading tonight, that doesn't have that contrast. That's all negative. Verse 11, the mouth of a righteous man, there it is again on the right side, is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. So the question for us tonight is, do you want the positive or you want the negative? Which of these two choices do you want? Verse number 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. You know, we live in a world that profits from doing wrong. Some of the most wealthy, some of the most prosperous people in our country, our nation, or our world are people that do that, and they get their gain by unrighteousness. But the Bible says the treasures of wickedness profit nothing. What do you mean profit nothing? Look at all this stuff I've got. We got to read the rest of the Bible. Look at chapter, the Bible tells us in chapter 11, the next chapter, Proverbs 11, verse 4, watch it. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Almost reading like our verse in verse 2. He's telling us, don't get caught up in pursuing the riches
because they're not going to profit you in the day of wrath. And certainly, don't get excited about the treasures of wickedness. You know, wickedness has its treasure. Wickedness has its thrill, but it doesn't profit you. It ends up bankrupting your life. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Hold your finger there, and we'll read a verse from the prophet Jeremiah about these things. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. You say, I've seen a lot of people that do wickedly, and it looks like their life is going just fine. You don't see the whole story. You know, the psalmist said, you know, I used to think that way until I went into the sanctuary and saw their end. He said, why do wicked people and people that don't have any respect for the Bible and don't live according to the truth of God, why do they seemingly prosper? And he said, when I went into the sanctuary, I saw their end and I knew. Because really all that they've done, all the life they have, all the things they've got, in the end it didn't profit him at all. It was just one big zero with it all rubbed out. And he found that out when he went in the sanctuary. You know what I'm afraid of? People go into the sanctuary and they don't find that out anymore. They go into the sanctuary and there's no discussion about where the end of wickedness takes you. I'm in Jeremiah 17. The treasures of wickedness. You know, some of those profitable industries are some of those wicked. I mean, that pornography industry is just, I mean, that's billions of dollars. The gambling industry, just all kind of money. Hollywood, all that wicked, well, it looks profitable. It glitters. Yeah, but it's going to stop. It doesn't really profit. Anything that really profits doesn't stop tomorrow. Jeremiah 17, look at verse 11, what the prophet says. Jeremiah 17, 11. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not. You ever heard somebody said, you know, about their nest egg? Well, what if you sit on your egg and it never hatches? Look at the verse. That's what he's saying. He's saying, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a what? A fool. So did it profit him to have all that? No. It was a nest egg he couldn't even enjoy. That's what we're seeing all around the world. People getting gain and getting riches. They don't put God first. And it looks like they're prosperous, but it profits them nothing because it never comes to fruition in their life. And they're leaving it to someone else. And in a moment of time, their life is over. And they leave all that stuff to somebody else. Our text in Proverbs says on the other side of the matter, Proverbs 10:2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Well, it'd be so good if you believe that. But righteousness delivereth from death. You say, how so, preacher? Well, if you'll be righteous and not drink booze, it'll probably help your liver. You know how many health problems people have because they lived a really rough, wild life? That happens all the time. What about your lungs? I tell you what, I think they're going to find out smoking all this dope wasn't too good to put in your lungs one day. He says righteousness will deliver you from death. All these STDs that wear out the body and destroy immune system because people living wickedly like that. You know, there's another kind of disease wickedness will do in your life. And if you're righteous, you'll be delivered from some of those deathful things. You know, wickedness works on your mind. It kills your mind. Destroys your mind, destroys your sanity. Look, guys, it is not a coincidence that this generation of people is the most mixed up, mentally ill generation in history. Because the more wicked you get, the more you lose your mind. And I'm not saying that there's not real diseases of the brain, but I'm saying that wickedness results not in profit. It hurts your body. It hurts your mind. And the Bible says if you'll live righteously, it'll deliver you from death. The biggest death that, you know, righteousness will deliver you from is from the second death. If you'll have the righteousness of God, which is found in Jesus Christ, it will deliver you from that second death of being cast in the lake of fire. So it's not just this life, it's the next life too. But most people, they don't care about riches. They don't care about righteousness. They care about the treasures of wickedness. And they don't see the terrible day that awaits them. And righteous people, I just want to tell you, if you live righteously, there's safety in living right. It pays to live right. It does. It pays in your body, it pays in your mind, and it pays in eternity to live right. It delivers from death. Look at the next contrast. Would you look at verse 3? Proverbs 10, verse 3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. God says, if you're righteous, he will not let your soul famish. He will provide for you. He will take care of you. Now notice the verse, though. He says, will not suffer the soul of the righteous. Now, even the Apostle Paul hungered and thirsted in his life. There have been Christians that have suffered, there's no doubt about that, and went hungry because of that. But God still provides for their need, because the greatest need you have is not a bodily need. It's the need on the inside. What's on the outside is going to die and go to the ground. But what's on the inside is going to live forever. And God's going to nourish your soul if you'll be his righteous one. He'll nourish you on the inside and you'll never famish. Notice he didn't say you'll never be hungry. You know, famishing and hungry is a little bit two different words. Famishing is you're over with. You're at the end. Sometimes he'll let us hunger, so we'll hunger for God. But he's going to take care of us. Isn't that the testimony of the Philippians? God's going to supply all you need. But look, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it if you don't make the right choices. If you don't make righteous choices, he doesn't have any obligation to bail you out of the consequences of our wickedness. He nourishes the soul of the righteous. And he makes sure we don't famish on it. But look at the contrast. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. God says, if you live wickedly, I'm going to take your stuff and I'm going to throw it out. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to destroy it. And that may not happen on Friday, but you can count on it. God will destroy, he will cast away the substance of the wicked. You know what our society will not tolerate? Anybody that talks about God's judgment. This is a verse about judgment. God says, I will nourish your soul if you'll be righteous, and I'll cast your junk out in the street if you are wicked. It's a choice. It's not that God's mean. It's that you made the wrong choice. Look at Psalm. I'll show you. Hold your finger right there. Both of these contrasts, I think, is in the same chapter. In Psalm 37. Great Psalm of David. You know, I'm glad we can sing, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. I really believe that. I was on the phone today to somebody in another state that needed to hear that. They can't see the end of the tunnel of God supplying the need for them and their family. You know what I said? Hey, trust in the Lord at all times. God can take care of you. Even if you can't figure it out, he's a big God. You just make the right choices, go God's way, he will take care of you. But you make the wrong choices. There are some Christians that quote that God will supply all your need according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Some people quote that verse and they have no right to, because they've gone a different way than God's way. Well, watch this in Psalm 37. Psalm 37 verse 25. Great verse. David says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David said, I've never seen it. I've never seen God not take care of anybody that was righteous. I've never seen it. God takes care of his own, is what he's saying. I've never seen him begging, he says. But now, drop down a few verses. Look at verse 28. He says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. You see that? And look at that little verse there in 28. For the Lord loveth judgment. Loveth judgment. Let me ask you a question. How much do you like the Lord? Do you love judgment? You say, no, I don't like to see anybody get judged. Well, I like to see people get right. You know, nobody ever went to God's heaven that first didn't come to the place of judgment. They had to find place of judgment in their heart that I'm a sinner, that I'm guilty, I'm in need of God. They had to see the judgment of God for them to get the blessing of God and the eternal life that God provides. The Lord loveth judgment. He says, I'm going to cast out the substance of the wicked. Why would we disagree with God about that? Look, God's always right. He's not harsh. He's right. And this is the truth. When somebody goes a wicked way, they deserve the judgment of God. And we all deserve the judgment of God. All of us. None of us deserve to be exempt from it. But some of us have chosen a righteous God and the righteous one and the righteous Savior and the righteous truth. And by the mercy and grace that God wants to give everybody, we've chosen the good and the right way and the straight way and the narrow gate and the Savior, and said, I don't want to go that way of the wicked. And we get spared all that judgment that we deserve. But don't kid yourself. God judges sin. And if you disagree with that judgment, you're not wise. He says God will cast away the substance of the wicked. And again, it didn't happen immediately all the time. But it's going to happen. Back to our text. I know which one I want. I don't want that. You talk about God taking your stuff and throwing it out, casting it out. And one day he's going to cast people into a lake of fire. You don't want God casting your stuff out. Run from wickedness. Do people even know what wickedness is anymore? Wickedness manifests itself in so many ways. And you've got to be a Bible reader to recognize wickedness even in your own heart. The Bible says, listen, our hearts are deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. There's wickedness in all of our hearts. And we've got to choose to go the other way. And if we don't, God's going to throw our stuff out in the road. All right, next contrast. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. You want to be rich or you want to be poor? That seemed like that would be an easy choice, right? You go to a college or a public school somewhere, a high school, and have a poll. What do you want to be when you grow up? I bet nobody's going to say poor. I want to be poor. But that's where most of them make the choice in life. That's where they're headed. And not just physical poverty or financial poverty. Look at verse 4. He becometh poor. Look at it. That dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Now, this is a contrast not to some abject, fleshly, carnal, wicked thing that we would contrive in our minds as a sin. This is a contrast between diligence and just being slack. You know what being slack means? Just let things go. You know, the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slack. God doesn't let anything go. God does not, he does not fail to fulfill all of his obligations. Now look, if you want to be poor, you want to be poor, you want to be rich. Riches come from diligence. Poverty comes from being slack. Now that's true in your finances. You know, some people are just so slack, they don't keep up with nothing. They don't know how much they make. They don't know how much they spend, and they don't know how much they're in debt. They don't know what all their bills are. And you know what? They get poor fast. And then there are people that are diligent. They have a budget, or they live according to their means. They work hard. They don't expect other people to take care of them. They're diligent to work, have a job, pay their bills, do what needs to be done, be responsible. But now, wait a minute. That's in the financial world. What about the spiritual world? You know how many people are spiritually poor just because they've been slack? They paid no attention to the responsibilities of the Christian life. Have you been slack in your prayer life recently? You know where that ends up? Spiritual poverty in here. Have you been slacking your Bible reading? Well, you know, preacher, have you been slack in reading? Do you get up every day and you read God's book, or are you slack in it? And what happens if you're slack in it? You get poor. You get bankrupt on the inside. Are you slack in your giving? Some people are slack in their giving and their tithing and obeying the things of the Lord as far as our giving is concerned. You want to get poor real quick? Just start stealing from God. And you say, well, I really didn't mean to. I just got slack. You see, sometimes it looks like a little thing, but it's a different path. Are you slack in your faithfulness? You know what I've watched? I've watched some people in their life, they just get a little bit unfaithful. They miss a service here. It's just like missing their Bible here, missing their prayer time here, missing their giving commitment. Or it's just like anything else. They just get slack. They didn't wake up one morning and say, I hate God. They just let things go. And God says, you're headed to the poorhouse spiritually. Because you just let it go. You weren't diligent to say, I've got to do this. This is important for me. The hand, the Bible says, of the diligent maketh rich. If you stay on top of your godly life, God will enrich your life. If you let things go, it's going to cost you. It's a full-time job for us to stay right with God. And you get slack on that, you become bankrupt and empty and spiritually poor. And you can't see. And you're a candidate to be tempted because you just let things slack. And it's the hand of the diligent maketh rich. The Bible says here in the same chapter, would you look at verse 22? Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. You see that? The riches are not just silver and gold and diamonds and a big house and a fancy car and all that. Riches are also God's riches, the true riches. And if we will be diligent in our Christian life, God will enrich our lives. Oh, what a blessing it is to know of Christians whose lives are just rich. Their countenance is rich. Their heart is rich. And that didn't come by slackness. That came by diligence. Look at the next contrast. What do you want? You want the positive or the negative? Verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Almost sort of like verse 4 again. In other words, if the harvest is coming in, you're going to go out there and you're going to work in the field. And you'll be a wise son. Who's going to let all that grain sit out there and just rot and not go gather it? You're wise if you gather that. You're rich if you gather that all in. But you're poor if you just leave it out there to rot. That's sort of like the next chapter. In chapter 11, verse 30, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. If we get out in God's harvest field, if we get out in God's work, if we're laboring in his harvest, it will enrich our lives. But if we just sleep. Just sleep. How many of us are like Jonah, sleeping out of the will of God? Just riding the boat, man. Jonah is not involved in some terrible sin of drunkenness or perversion. Jonah is just sleeping out of the will of God, and it doesn't bother him. You know what the Bible says about that? He made a wrong choice, and it causeth shame. You see that? He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. God had a great harvest for Jonah, but instead of being diligent to go gather and be wise and do what God said, he slept, and he caused shame. He wasted his life, wasted time. Just like those disciples, you know, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're just cold-cocked sleeping. Not wise. And what a shame. Can you imagine how shame when Jesus comes back to him? Get up! He comes back. Get up! Can't you pray? But an hour? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, when the Lord comes, I don't want him to catch me sleeping. Because, you know, if he does, I'm going to be ashamed. Why weren't you praying? Why weren't you faithful? Why weren't you diligent? Why weren't you gathering? Why did you choose that way? You don't have to be. You don't have. Your life doesn't have to be one of shame. It can be one of wisdom. Don't go to sleep. Are you choosing to sleep? Or are you choosing to go gather in God's field? Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. Don't go to sleep. And then he gives another contrast. Would you go to verse 6? And oh, how many Christians are sleeping. They're sleeping. Verse 6, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Here's a good question for you. Do you want blessings or you want violence? Who wants violence? Well, preacher, I don't want violence. I want blessing. Well, you better go the way of the just instead of the way of the wicked. You know, one of the greatest things in the world, or probably the greatest thing in the world, is just having the blessing of God on your head. You know, I remember when I got ordained and those godly men came down, and one of them was my granddad, man. I tell you what, I just missed my grandpa. And he came down and put his hands on my head. Well, he just prayed over me and asked God to bless me. I tell you what, the juice just ran out of my eyes. And I tell you what, you know what I've noticed in my life? I really believe this. And I've not deserved any of it. The blessing of God has been on my life. All the good things has nothing to do with meriting it. It's the blessing of God. And the blessing of God has been on our church. And many of you have experienced the blessing of God in your life. What is worth losing that? The blessing of the Lord is on the head of the just. But here's the violence of the wicked. Violence. The violence is in their mouth. You see that? Oh, what a dirty, filthy, rotten. I tell you what, if you're comfortable around people that have vile, violent mouths, you need to go to the altar. You need to ask God to cleanse your heart and your mind and your ears. How God's just people could stay around wicked people with all the violence coming out of their mouth and the vile things that are said. You know why we have a violent world? Because of wickedness. Just people don't rape people. Wicked people do that. Just people don't steal from people. Just people don't sell drugs and promote the drug trade. I called our missionary to make sure he got down to Mexico. The Myers there, and they're still traveling. How many of you read about them stopping them, shooting them, other people down there? Y'all read about all that? Yeah. Someone's driving from Acapulco, somewhere else, and it was a bunch of thugs, a bunch of drug thugs, and what they do in Mexico, they try to wave you down. Well, they trying to, because they want to steal from you, and they tried to wave this guy from Utah and his family down, and they didn't stop, they just kept driving. But you know what they did? They caught up with them, dragged them out, and shot two of them right in front of the 12-year-old boy. Execution. You know who does that? Wicked people. Violence. You know who riots in the streets? Wicked people. Preacher, where does all the violence come from? Wickedness. Just wickedness. Real Christian people, we've never been a violent people. We don't want to hurt people. We don't want to kill people. But you know what the world declares us? They think we're the ones with the hate speech and we're ones with the violent heart just because we say what God says. Telling the truth is not a violent mouth. Telling the truth is trying to save people from their wickedness. The wicked are the ones that are violent. They're the ones that are trying to harm people. People preying on these young people, and man, it's just violent. Religion's what's violent. We're not involved in a religion, we're involved in a person. What's wrong? Why are the Muslims so violent? They're wicked. Well, I got to keep going. He repeats that same phrase in verse 11. You see that in the verse 11? But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. He just repeats it twice. What comes out of your mouth? Look at verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Is blessing on your head and is life? Is your coming out of your mouth a well of life? Are you bringing the life of the Lord Jesus and the life of the Word of God, the bread of life and the water of life? Is that what's coming out of our mouths? Or is what's coming out of our mouths violent? I tell you what, gossip's violent. Gossip destroys people. It's hurtful. But the Bible says, what choice do you want to make? You want to be the mouth of a righteous man or the mouth of a wicked man? You want to bring life to someone, or do you want to bring violence in someone's life? Verse 7, another contrast. We've got to hurry. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Man, God didn't make that sound so nice, did he? You know what turns my stomach is rotten things. I told Miss Gail the other day, I took the trash can, something rotted in that. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was one of your kids' diapers or what it was, amen. There was something so rotten in that trash can, and I could smell it with it closed. And I tried to open to look in it, and I got so sick. I took the trash can around the corner, and I said, Miss Gail, there's something in that trash can that needs to be cleaned. I mean, it makes me sick. Turns my stomach. Rotten things. You can smell rotten things a mile away. The worst is rotten flesh. That's the worst, but just rotten stuff. Now let me ask you a question. Do you want your testimony and your name and your memory when you're gone, when people think about you, you want them to smell rottenness? Or do you want them to smell a blessing? It depends on what kind of life you choose. You know, you read about, was it Jehoram? I think it was what was the king's name. And he compelled the people to fornication. He was wicked. He turned from God. And he got mad at God and the truth of God. And God diseased him in his feet and all this stuff. And then the Bible said God killed him. And when he died, you know what it said? He said, he departed without being desired. You know what that means? Nobody even cared that he died. You know what? I want to live a life for Jesus that at least when I leave this world, that my memory, somebody would look back and say, oh, Brother Brent, he was a blessing. You know, I've got so many people in mind right now. Brother Earl in heaven today. I tell you, every time I think about Brother Earl, a smile comes on my face. And I tell you, there's some other people I've been to church with, every time I think of their name, I want to puke. Yeah. You know why? It was the choice of their life. One went to a blessing, and one went into rottenness. Which choice do you want to make? You say, well, how do I make sure that my memory isn't rotten? Well, don't have a rotten life. Have a life that puts Christ first and Jesus first in your life. Don't have a memory that makes people sick. My grandfather, what a great memory. Brother Hank Thompson meant so much. What a great memory in my heart. And I don't get sad when I think of them. I'm blessed when I think of them. Their memory is blessed. What do you think of when you think of Judas? Not too many people call their boy Judas. Not too many people call their boy Herod or Ahab. When's the last time you heard of little Ahab being born? You know why? Because immediately when you think of that, you think of, oh, rottenness. How many people name their boys Paul or Peter or their little girls Hannah or Ruth? That's not an accident. I don't know too many people, and there's probably some good guys out there, not too many people name their kids Adolf. Here's Adolf Smith. Are you kidding? You wouldn't do that. You know why? Because there's something in your memory that's rotten about that. Now listen, guys. Think about your testimony. Think about your testimony as you live your life and make your decisions. You want your life to exude the blessing of the Lord and the name of the Lord and the things of God and the faithfulness of God and the commitments to God. A good name is rather to be chosen than loving favor, he says. You want a good memory, not a bad one. You know what Nehemiah prayed? He said, Lord, remember me. I've tried to serve you. I've tried to do all these things. Just remember me. Psalm 112:6, the righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Hurry. Verse 8, Proverbs 10:8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He says the same in verse 10. I won't talk about winking with the eye causes sorrow, because we talked about those winkers over there in chapter 6, verse where it was 13. So, but he talks about a prating fool. What is a prating fool? A prating person, to be prating is means you talk a whole lot on a trifling subject. You just talk about things that don't matter all the time. That's what a prating fool is. And the Bible contrasts, instead of being a prating fool, as he says in verse 10, and he also says in verse 8, both verses, he says a prating fool shall fall. The contrast to that is he says right there in verse number 8, the wise in heart receive commandments. Do you receive commandments? 1 John 5:3. The Bible says this is the love of God, that walk after his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If there is anything in this Bible that is grievous to you, you've made a wrong choice. Because a wise son, a wise individual, the wise in heart, receive commandments. But a prating fool just talks about things that God didn't talk about. Are you going to make a wise choice to receive everything God commands you? You know, some people don't even like commandments. They don't like Christianity because there's commandments in it. There are commandments in the commandments of the Lord. The commandments of Jesus Christ are all through the New Testament. Now, do you receive those, or are they grievous to you? Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to be faithful. I've got to attend church. I've got to pray. I've got to read my Bible. I've got to witness. I've got to be kind to my wife. I got to give my money. Is that the way the commandments of God are to us? Oh, again? See, it's a choice of the heart. The last one, I'm finished. Verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. If you go a perverted way, if you pervert your own ways, if you pervert God's ways, everybody's going to know about your story and it's not going to be good. But if you'll walk uprightly, you will walk surely. You will walk safely. Your steps will be established. To walk up, will you choose the positive, to walk uprightly, or are you going to choose to walk pervertedly? It's a choice. But God says, if you'll walk uprightly, you'll walk surely. You'll have some surety in your life. And if not, God's going to tell your perverted story to everybody. I really would not want to be that prodigal son. I want to walk uprightly. What does it mean to walk uprightly? It means to walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk uprightly? It means walk in holiness and walk in humility. And walk in self-denial. And walk in the ways of the commandments and the scriptures and the precepts of God. Which choice have I made? Am I just changing and perverting my way? Or am I walking upright? I love this verse. I'm going to close with it. Would you go to Psalm 84 and we'll be done. You want the positive or the negative? Your choice. Oh, preacher, why is all this bad stuff and that bad and this person? Usually it's because of choices. Just choices. You want to choose uprightly? Here's a great verse. What a positive verse. You'd think everybody would want to get in on this. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Look at it. No good thing
will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I believe that. And by the grace of God, that's my choice. I want to walk uprightly. You want the positive? You want the negative?